Good morning, everybody. I'm Chris Bain. This is episode number 35 in A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate. Stay with us.
Welcome to A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate Podcast, the only place to make you smarter about San Diego real estate. We take a look at what's going on in San Diego. We explore everything from new restaurants, coffee shops, free stuff, and more. Now, here's your host, the man with the best hair in San Diego, top realtor, Chris Spade.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. It is me. It is Chris Spade over at Keller Williams Realty. So great to have you on board today's podcast and A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate. We've got a lot to talk about today. I wanted to talk about one of my new books I have out because I've noticed that I have kind of become that guy who helps a lot of people who are going through a divorce. So, put together a book called Selling Your Home in a Divorce. So, I wanted to talk to you quickly about that for just 1 second. So, you know, at the time you make the decision to split up and get a divorce, in most cases, the couple that's getting divorced doesn't want to stay in the marital home because it shares too many memories. And so, you know, we need to go through this process and this process of making the decision to actually sell a home. Now, one of the things that I do, I work a little bit differently. I believe in 100% open and honest communication between both parties, which I think is extremely important. Even though both parties are going through a divorce, I think that there is reasonable ground to be reached through this process, and I think that it can be done if everybody is willing to be on board. So first things first is to make the decision to sell the house. That's the most important thing, that you're going to want to make that decision. And the good thing is you separate from this house, it becomes an asset, you make a clean break, and everybody walks away with some proceeds. So let's kind of go over in a nutshell the process and what we go over in the book, and then I'll tell you how to get a free copy of the book in just a little bit. So first of all, if you are listening to this podcast outside of San Diego County, you know, one of the things that I would do is see if the agent who sold you the home is available to sell the home again, because that's you know, you've got a familiar face, you're familiar with the person that's doing it. If not, I'm in San Diego. This has kind of become my niche, working with divorcing couples. And so one of the things that I do is once we've made the decision to sell the house and sign the paperwork, there's a few steps that we have to go through. And so some of those are going to be, first and foremost, who's going to be the point of contact? Who is still living in the house, if anyone is living in the house, and who is going to be that person that's going to be available to show the house? Who's the one that's going to keep it clean? Remember, this is something that you want to put in the best light possible, and the reason for that is because we are working to maximize your profits. So as you're moving out of the house, if one person is moving out of the house and taking things, we want to make sure that you've got everything you want out of the house for the time being, because we want to make sure that the house is being sold in its best possible light. We want to give it really good energy all around, because people and buyers can sense weirdness going on in the house. And if you're selling your house and you're not taking care of it, that shows. And that just means that you're going to pay the price on the back end with price reductions, or you're going to pay the price on the back end with requests for repairs, those types of things. So we really want to make sure that the property is in the best light. Second of all, once we start getting offers, it's going to be imperative that both parties work together. And typically, that's going to be a conversation between me and each of the parties, because it's very rare they want to get on the phone at the same time. But then we're going to follow up with everything, documenting via email, everything, and all the conversations that we have. Once a price is agreed upon, then we'll go through the closing process. Now, one of the things that I do a little bit differently, I actually do this with all my properties that I sell, and that is we get the disclosures on the property done up front. That's so important. So that way, as we move the buyer through the process and the buyer's agent through the process, we're giving them stuff off the bat that they're going to have to arm themselves with the knowledge they need to make sure that this is a house that they want to proceed with. Now remember, they get their time frames to do their inspection, get their loan, get their appraisal. They do all those things, and by doing that, they're able to move through their process. So if we can load them with that information up front, that's always going to be the best thing possible. Once we've done that and the buyers start releasing their contingencies, then it's to make sure that the other party leaves the home in a timely fashion, because we do want to secure an on-time closing. Remember, these closings take place, they're on a time is of the essence. That's what the contract is a time of the essence contract. And we count calendar days, not weekdays in a contract. So all of that is necessary. Then at the close of escrow, typically both parties have an attorney. So chances are, if it's not agreed to in writing ahead of time and the escrow officer does not have the instruction to disperse funds to one or both parties, then what's going to happen is typically the escrow officer is going to release funds to the trust account of one of the attorneys for one of the parties. And then later when you go to court, you're going to decide between your attorneys and the judge who gets what percentage of the closing funds, if applicable. But the money won't actually go to the two parties that are divorcing. The money will actually be held in a trust account by one of the attorneys. And that's typically the way that most of these divorces work, unless you've already gone through the divorce process. There's a divorce decree that says, yes, we are actually going to do this. This is going to be the splits and the proceeds. Everybody has to agree to it, and everybody has to sign off on it. The escrow officer is not going to disperse funds, especially in a divorce situation, until everybody agrees on the disbursements amounts. Typically, it's 50-50, but sometimes those disbursement amounts can change. And so we just want to make sure that it's a win-win for everybody. So if you are interested in a copy of my book, Selling Your Home in a Divorce, make sure that you send me an email at cmspade@gmail.com, or you can call me 619-818-2992. And switching gears, here's something I found to be extremely interesting. A study done by Zillow says there are about 12 million millennials across the United States living at home with their mom. Now, this is what Zillow says. The figures that were released by Zillow shows the situation was driven by slow wage growth and rents that were rising. But the trend on kids living at home with their parents still increased despite some improvement in the labor markets. Aaron Tazares with Zillow, a senior economist with Zillow, says, quote, living with parents may allow young adults to pursue work or passion that may not be especially lucrative or save enough money for the first and last month's rent or down payment for a home on their own. So, what are the cities with the most millennials living with their parents? Well, Miami, New York, Riverside, California, and Los Angeles. More than 30% of millennials are living at home with their mom. Now, coincidentally enough, these are the priciest labor markets and rental markets in the country. Meanwhile, Austin, Texas has the smallest share of millennials living at home with their parents. So, I was curious, what does San Diego compare? Well, in 2005, 11.8% of millennials were living at home with their parents. In 2016, when this study was done, a whopping 23.3% of millennials are living at home with their parents here in San Diego. Part of the reason for that is our high rents, and 41% of a millennial's income goes to rent. So, you know, it just goes to show you how important it actually is in buying a property. Here's the advantage, remember, when you purchase a property, your rents don't go up. Your mortgage is fixed for the life of the loan. So we've got that. I just thought it was a little interesting fun fact that you all might like to share in. And that is going to do it for this edition of A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate. I'm Chris Spade with Keller Williams Realty, San Diego Metro. Thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate you guys coming back here each and every day. Also, if you are a business owner, entrepreneur, and you would like to be on this podcast, I would love the opportunity to interview you and talk to you about your business, especially if you live in the metro area of San Diego. But this applies to anybody in San Diego County. I would love to interview you. If you're an entrepreneur in another part of the country, I'd love to interview you as well. Talk to us a little bit about your business as well. My goal is to bring extreme amounts of value to everybody that I can. So if you would like to be on this podcast, give me a call at 619-818-2992. I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day. Stay wonderful. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate with Chris Spade. If you like our show and want more, check us out on iTunes. While you're there, leave us a review. See you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.